You're listening to the Podcast Detroit Network. Visit www.podcastdetroit.com for more information.
Welcome to the Flavor Show. I'm your host, Zen Master. Glad that you're here. All of the three people who are watching, so glad to have you here. So glad. And I want to introduce my team, my squad, affectionately called the Riot Squad. I don't know how much affection is in Riot, but of course, Sharonda. Do we do government names? I'm just curious. Are we hiding something? You're not?
Yeah.
Sharonda Edgerson.
Hi.
All right. And to my left, Tashia Pope.
Oh, he hit a phone call.
Because I've never done that before.
Last, he been trying.
Right. He been trying. He was like, Mama Ty, we ain't going to do government. Now today is.
It's government. So okay. I was in Braswell. It's government. And I say that because what we are going to do to for the people, the three people that's out there watching, we want to give a little background introduction of ourselves, you know, let you know who we are and why we say the things that we say. So, with me being a host, I'm going to take the pleasure of going last.
Okay.
I figured y'all thought I was going to go first, but I'm going to go last.
Yeah.
And, yeah, so.
That was sweet.
Is that portion now?
Yeah, well, that's what we're doing.
Oh, okay. Wow.
Yeah, let's start it off.
Great.
Let's start off the show.
I'm really jumping into stuff.
Yeah, why not?
You know,
this is what we do.
Okay, I'll go first. I'm Sharonda, 43-year-old, twice divorced. 4 children, raised on the east side of Detroit, and graduated from Wayne State, University of Detroit Mercy. I am currently a principal at a PSA in Detroit, and that's me.
Okay. Interesting. We just actually had someone in here 2 Fridays ago. A friend had wanted, first time this has ever happened, someone wanted to rent the studio for somebody's birthday and just wanted to, like, let them record. And he was a principal.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it was interesting. Yeah, that's why they triggered it.
Okay.
All right. Wow. And the voice is Dave. Maybe we'll have Dave in there. So
yeah.
The voice.
I think Dave's part of your Riot Squad.
He is, without a question.
Definitely.
It's definitely a part of the Riot Squad.
Yeah, so you left it on me. All right, so I'm Tashia Pope, 36-year-old, mother of 2. I am currently in school finishing my master's, 1 semester away. Thank you, God. In clinical mental health. I work beside these 2 wonderful individuals at the school, as a parapro or wherever I'm needed, I guess. Kind of.
Many hats.
That's it.
That's it?
That's it.
That's all?
That's all. Real simple.
All right. Okay. Well, yeah. I'm Zen Braswell. I am 50 years old. I am half a century. I'm the father of 2, boy and a girl, and I am divorced, sort of, kind of, will be, sort of, kind of.
Okay, I'm glad you clarified that.
Whatever. I hate her.
Separated.
How about that? Let's
separated.
I hate her. Let's just put that out there. So I work at the school. Flavor Network, Flavor Broadcasting Network, that's one of my companies. I produce, I shoot, I do a lot. I shoot film.
Oh, okay.
And not people. I shoot with a camera. And this is an outlet. I like doing talk shows. I've done this before, so yeah. So yeah, that's just the background. I feel like we should at least told you a little bit about us as things. Dave, but let me not, because the voice, because people ask about the voice. I was watching the other day saying, who's the voice?
I'm Dave. I'm the idiot who once upon a time said, hey, we're going to start a podcast. And then that led to, hey, we're going to build our own studio, which led to, hey, people are going to nag us to use our studio. And so I guess we're launching a network damn, too many people want to use the studio. So now we have a building with 4 studios and then a 5th studio. And right. Now we're building out a video studio. And
awesome.
Yeah, and I live my life on coffee and Red Bull. That's how I, yeah.
That is Dave, the voice.
All right.
That's well known. So we're going to get back into some topics that we were talking about last week. Last week we brought up the topic of dating your potential or dating down, talking about the dynamic relationships on how people choose their mate? What is the standard in which they go by? What are they looking for? And what's out there to be chosen? So I think we left a lot of things unanswered last week. Can we say that? Or some things that we just, you know, started in. So we want to wrap that up today. We also want to go back into this whole GOAT MC thing. I guess Black may not be showing, so maybe we'll be able to get some things done. I don't know. Maybe or not. We'll see. But
don't speak too soon.
Yeah, right. I feel
like it's not one of your shows unless the phrase "the only thing I like big is a bankroll" happens at least once.
Yeah, right. Happens at least once.
So I'll get that out there for him.
Right. Thanks for putting that out there. So we'll tell him he can't say it. It's already been said. But yeah, that's a Black will be here. But we want to get into that. So let's go back to what we were talking about. I think what we were trying to do last, we were trying to create a list
of standards.
We were trying to create a list of standards. Mm-hmm. And so why don't we delve back into that? So what are, and again, from this point, I'm asking y'all because we're doing from a woman's perspective.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I think that's where we started at last, right? I was asking y'all, so I'll continue to ask y'all. That's
so we'll go with, you know, we talked about having decent employment.
Okay. So, you know, I had a friend watch the show with me, and he kind of, you know, he critiqued some of the things that we were saying.
Mm-hmm.
And so let's talk about that. Having decent employment. All right, that's one. So what's decent employment?
That can provide for himself and, you know, somebody else.
So you meet a person. You're out. You're at the grocery store and catch eyes with...
Produce guy,
right. And so you decide. So you know he has a job because he's the...
Produce guy, right.
So... Does that become? I mean,
I'm
is
not
that
dating
a step?
Produce.
You're not dating
well,
produce.
I think that might
I'm
be
not,
his second
I'm
job.
Not, that's true. I don't. I probably wouldn't get to know that.
You probably wouldn't.
Yeah. So.
So you have to know what a person does before. I'm scared. I'm
at this point in my life, yeah, I need to know what you do. I need to know if, in fact. So I'm always looking for long term now. You know, it's not like, oh, we're trying to hook up. I could hook up with the produce guy if I was 20 years younger, you know, but right now.
But the produce guy, you can't build a life with him?
Probably not.
Because he doesn't make enough money?
I mean, I don't know what me and the produce guy going to have in common in terms of where we are at in our lives. Right. You know what I'm saying? So, not that I'm looking down on him.
Kind of looks that way.
No. Not that I'm looking down on the produce guy. It's my daughter work at Kroger. You know what I'm saying? So you date my daughter. Do you? That's what you. Yeah. At this point in my life,
you know, he likes to toss
the produce.
Well, but I think I see where you're going. It's a question of. I mean, one of the universal truths is like attracts like.
Right.
And so, like, if you're in a professional kind of gig, you're looking for somebody in a professional kind of gig.
Right. Yep. There you go.
The
voice. Yep. The voice that said it.
I just pulled you out
that,
there.
Because it wasn't that I'm looking down. You know, it's just that.
All right. So I have to ask the question since you put it out there. So, you know, you put it out there. I got to ask. So what's decent employment? What's what? 50,000? Six figures? I mean,
I don't know what, you know, in terms of monetary, because I know there's professional gigs that doesn't pay $50,000, but it's important work, you know, and I would consider that decent employment. People that
it's
are.
It's what they do. I know I'm making.
So I know it's when you take it to the party. You want to introduce
well, no,
them.
I mean,
look, like,
I mean, case in point, you're a principal. Hell of a lot of teachers don't make 50 grand.
Right.
But exactly. It's important work.
But it's important work.
Right.
That's what I'm saying. So I was thinking like social workers, people that community service in general, you know, is important work.
Okay.
But they don't get paid a lot. So produce guys, hopefully that's a stepping stone for them. So now you didn't say the manager of a Kroger because one of our parents is a manager of a Kroger. And to me, that's decent employment for her. I mean, she has full benefits. She's able to take care of her family. So it depends. You said the produce guy.
Okay. I was just trying to.
Okay.
So the produce guy, you don't have a shot. Just put it out there. You're done. No, I'm just joking. So decent employment. That's one. That's the standard. Mm-hmm. That's the standard for women. What about you? Do you agree exactly with everything she said, or you just go that?
I'm gonna fill it out. I'm gonna see. I mean, because if not, I mean, but what she's looking for is different. She said long term. I'm at my age. If we make it long term, then great. But outside of that, let's kick it. Let's have fun. I'm not looking for a cuddle buddy. That's not gonna happen. You can roll around with anybody, but nah. I mean, to have a good friend, yeah, you might get a good friend out of that, one or two. That very well could be their second job. I mean, I work at Planet Fitness on the weekends, and I work some other places, so I'm working on my master's, and I'll continue to go. As long as it's money, I'm a hustle for it. So it just depends.
Maybe so you addicted to produce guy. What are we saying?
I might if it's second. If it's a second job. Now, if it's his first time hustle, then I'm with mom on that one. It ain't popping.
Okay. And so decent employment, is that one of yours as well? And what do you describe as decent employment?
So I got this from Ty. She's the one who said decent employment last week.
Okay. So we'll be on the hot plate.
What does that mean?
What does decent employment mean? So I have a friend who I can't say if ever dated anybody who has a job. They've always been that hustler, but they ain't been the big hustler. They've been the nickel and dime hustler. Right. Since
I believe the phrase for those that I've loved that I came to know because of one of the other shows here is hobosexual.
Hobosexual.
It's a person who engages in a relationship to keep from being homeless.
Oh, well, damn, that's a good one.
I had to add that to
homosexual.
Yeah, okay.
So that would be the area that they were in. I've always talked to anybody I've dealt with has had employment. I mean, they've been able to provide for themselves. Catching the bus, that's probably not it. They've always had a car. They've always been able to take care of themselves, like Mama said. So,
okay, so that adds another one. Has to have transportation.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
Yep. We're not riding bikes.
We ain't in Chicago or New York, you know.
I would say, is that changing now, though?
A little bit.
Because it'd be like now you're getting more. We're still not D.C., New York, Chicago, Boston. Right. You know, we're not. But with the rise of Uber and Lyft and all that kind of stuff.
I don't want an Uber date.
I did an Uber date. Uh-huh. How about? The idiot got so drunk that when I met him at his place, and we had went to somebody else's place because we were all rolling together to go bowling. Uh-huh. And we Ubered from the people's house to the bowling alley. But he got drunk in the course of it and couldn't tell us to get back to his car. That way I could get to his apartment to get to my car. So I was kind of stuck. So no, I ain't Uber.
No more Uber dates.
Bad experience.
Bad.
You Uber date? You with the millennials?
Yeah, I don't see. I mean, I don't see a problem with that. Because especially if we go into like concerts, Little Caesars Arena, drop me off in an Uber. Come pick me back up.
But there are some younger people who don't have cars.
Like my children don't want cars. They like, I'll Uber.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, given the fact that insurance is so high in Michigan, I probably would sit with them on that.
Yeah.
Transportation, Uber as well. So what else? What do we have? We have decent employment, transportation.
Limit on baby mamas.
So what's the limit? That's the next question. When you say
two baby mamas. Right.
See, I got a little bit of both. So
okay.
I'm just saying, two baby mamas, two kids. I guess
that, two baby mamas to twos.
Two to twos.
The twos.
Four and fives. Mamas. That's a whole lot of problems.
Because you know, it's a lot of men out here that. You know, have a lot of children.
They do. Yeah. I couldn't date my brothers.
You couldn't date your
brothers?
Because of
the amount of children that they have. Yeah.
Yeah, right. Yeah, so that's it. Two? I mean, or is there a limit for you?
I mean, there's no limit for me. Okay, I got four kids.
Right. So, yeah.
So I guess it's.
At least your limit, huh? You got four. He can at least have four. Eight is great. Eight is enough, right?
Yeah, eight is a basketball team.
Wait a minute, Flip. Zen. What about you?
Right.
What's the limit? If she got six kids.
For women or children? Yeah, so I have two, but I've dated a woman with four. So I don't know. It's where their children are. You know, are they grown? Am I going over there and they're babies? Mm-hmm. You know, I'm not changing diapers. I'm not going to do that. So I don't want that. You know, can I bring a hot and ready for, or do I have to bring diapers? I mean, I don't know. It's something different. So depends on where they are. If they're grown, say I'm 50, so most of the women I date, their kids
they
are
have grown kids.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah,
so that's different.
That doesn't make a difference. Yeah, right. They're grown. As far as the other two, yeah, transportation would be good.
But the woman don't have to have a car.
He got a car.
Yeah, I got a car.
Oh,
so
nice.
I mean, you know,
good to know.
Yeah, I got a car, but it would be nice. You know what I mean? I would like to ride a passenger seat sometime. Decent employment. I mean, they got a job. They can take care of themselves.
So you would date the produce girl?
She was fine enough. She might.
Yes, they would date the produce girl.
Free groceries.
Insert joke about melons here.
Right, exactly. Then would date the produce girl.
I mean, you know, she might have potential, and I'm all for potential, you know, getting it to where she need to be, you know.
And her discount would help.
New coach. And yeah, discounts help. I'm hungry. Produce is a good food. All right. That's it. And then you meet your guy.
I mean, something about character in there, you know, even though I'm finding that character, when people appear to have these characteristics, may not be the case. But the standard for me is that you are kind, that you are compassionate, that you are not selfish, that type of thing.
So how do you know those things?
You don't.
Yeah. Because especially when you first meet someone, right? Everybody's kind when you... No.
Yeah, but you know, the longer you be in a relationship, the representative kind of wears off and you see the real person. You can't keep showing up with a representative every day. So.
Well, and I mean, that's even with the issues that come along sometimes with having a first date in a bar, having a first date in a bar, dude, I judge you by how you treat the bartender and the waitstaff, not by how you treat the owner of the place. Mm-hmm. Like, and that's where you start to see character and that kind of stuff.
Yeah, absolutely.
And how long? What's the time? How long do you date to find out if you have the representative or if you have the true person?
Nowadays, it's kind of...
That's hard.
It's quick. People show themselves really quickly because they feel like there's so many other options. I don't have to play games. I don't have to, you know, play that role for too long. So I would say within the first 2 months, you would know what a person...
Within
the first 2 months, yeah. It depends on how often you all interact with each other. Mm-hmm. So the online, I see you once a month type thing, now it might take a little longer. But if you're dating somebody, seeing them on a weekend, talking to them on a daily basis, you get to know them pretty quickly.
Do you agree?
Yeah. Yes. Yeah.
Easy way out. Just say, 2 months? So you can know somebody in 2 months?
I mean,
you have a lifetime. Fully. You still to know, but you got to...
You definitely can see red flags in 2 months.
Yeah, you do see red flags.
Okay. All right. So
get them comfortable. Then everything comes out.
Character.
Y'all said it last week. A girl cute in the club. She got the whole, what's that body fit? The slim. She get comfortable. Everything just roll out.
To the floor.
Right. Get them comfortable. It just go.
Yeah. That's something different. Way different. All right, so we're looking at this. We're looking at character. Deal breakers. What are deal breakers? Last week we said one of the deal breakers was infidelity, right? Cheating would be a deal breaker?
I think so.
You definitely. You feeling that way more this week than last week?
I think so, yeah.
Verbal abuse.
Oh, yeah.
Verbal abuse.
You look
verbal breach is a deal breaker.
Loose with your tongue.
So, but see, that's a good one. But it
so
goes
black wouldn't fit just
both ways, though, right? In a relationship, people say a lot of things. I think the phrase is two things you can never take back is bullets and words.
You know, and once time.
And time.
Three things you can never take back is bullets, words, and time. Add that. So, I mean, when you say things, and people say things because they're emotionally attached in the relationship, right? They feel like their emotions or their feelings have been hurt, so they strike out, and they say they don't.
You they do. That don't mean it's right. That's why you're supposed to take your time and think before you cross that finish line.
So would you consider yourself that person who always takes her time.
I'm gonna be very cautious with my words. I might be hot, but I'm a chill because I know I can't take it back. Words cut, they hurt, and go deep. You don't forget.
So, have you ever been in a relationship where a person hasn't been as cautious as you?
Absolutely.
And explain.
They're very loose with their words. Black would be the person who's
bitch.
Broad, you lost your motherfucking mind.
Is that a deal breaker? I mean, it was a point in time where
don't say nothing to me that I can't say back to you.
That's good.
You've opened that door, where we going,
right?
I mean, it's not gonna last long, but I'm a cut, and I'm a cut real hard.
And that's usually the case. I mean, it's usually the case that a woman is able to cut hard and deep.
Yeah, because they go for the jugular. Women know how to get there, right there.
Right. Think about it. Dogs leave they shit out in the open. Cats clean it up, just cover it up nice and pretty.
Is that what it is?
Yep.
That's what we've come to. That's what it's come to. It's dogs and cats.
Never heard that one. Okay.
All right. Hey, so...
So verbal abuse. That's a deal breaker.
I guess physical abuse definitely.
Oh yeah, that's for sure.
A deal breaker, right? Are there signs? Are there ways to see if this person may be potentially a verbal abuser or a physical abuser? I mean, from a woman's perspective. I mean, because
control.
And also what Dave said, you watch how they treat other people. Because if they're treating the wait staff, the bartenders, their mother, their sisters, you know, people around them a certain way, it's bound to happen to you.
So, I mean, what happens from a woman's perspective when you see signs of something that you think potentially may not be right for you? I mean, you know, if he's a hothead, I don't think you just want to say, hey, you crazy. I mean, what happens? What do you do? For women that might be listening, how do you judge and how do you pull away?
Mm-hmm.
You know,
I think everybody has their limit of what they're going to tolerate, right? And so when you're looking at a situation, especially if now you've invested some time, some, you know, emotions, you want that person to change. And so you invest more time and emotions. Mm-hmm. And then it comes into a thing where you're full blown in a relationship with a person that you knew full well had these red flags. But, you know, now you're there. So now you got to kind of go back, reevaluate what you're going to tolerate, you know, and how long you want to tolerate it.
There's a great quote that came out. What's his name? The whole Chris Hardwick situation. The guy that did Walking Dead and his ex came out. One of her quotes from her blog post was, "If you're wearing rose colored glasses, every flag looks red."
Yeah. Oh.
And so it's easy to ignore them. That was her point.
Right. If you're looking at everything from that point of view, where everything is rosy and good, then
yeah,
every flag is red. All right. Got that. Good point. For the voice. No, I'm just How about you, Miss Ty? You should be thinking. You know I'm gonna come right red.
I think like they said, by then you have an idea of what you want, and this person started off with that, giving you what you wanted and needed. So when they slide in that other part, it's like, oh well, I can deal with that, or we'll try to fix that, or we'll work on that, you know, because this person is so good. They do this. They're good in this area, in that area. Mm-hmm. And the case is, I don't want to start over. I invested so much time.
Right.
I'd be dang if I get you to the next one and I just got you prepped and ready. So, it does become, it's a game. It's a bad game.
And I think that's a lot of it, right? Isn't that a lot of it? I mean, we end up staying in toxic relationships. Because
3 out of 5 ain't bad.
Right.
And that's just not okay.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Because some of the things may be good. He's fulfilling other needs. But, yeah, so how do you change that, though? I mean, is that just how it is? I mean, that's what relationships are. We should just
It seems to be.
That means we're accepting nothing, though, right?
No, you're just settling. You're lowering your standards.
So that's the whole topic, right?
Right. You're lowering your standards.
Right.
And I don't know unless you – some people like the single life, right? Black. And I enjoyed being single for a minute because I enjoyed the freedom, you know, to do, think about only what I wanted, what I want to eat. I ain't got to worry about what nobody else, you know, I ain't got to call and check in, all that good stuff. But when you want that other stuff, that companionship, the, you know, relationship, the monogamous intimacy, you know, whatever, some of that's going to have to bend because...
What happens when you in a relationship, y'all supposed to have a relationship, and it's still that way. You're still that same word.
You're still alone.
You're still alone. You could have a boyfriend or a significant other within the same state, and y'all almost, your relationship is like an out-of-state relationship. Mm. You see everybody when it's a weekend or right. time is right.
And right.
Talk, check yep. in.
Few texts once a day.
Yeah. I mean. It's kind of what you're willing to tolerate. Yeah.
Right. So that takes us back to the whole point of, you know, the topic of the conversation. So is it different? Will I eliminate those problems if I don't date down? Is this a symptom of dating down or is this a symptom of relationships?
No. I just think it's a symptom of relationships, period. Mm-hmm. Whether you're dating down, dating up, dating equal, you're going to have the same problems. It may be different in how you deal with them because, honestly, if you're dating down, there's a consciousness that goes with that. Like,
it's a reason why.
You know what I'm saying? Like, not this square. Why, he can't possibly do this because I'm doing you a favor. I've overlooked this. I've overlooked that. And so there's an attitude that also comes with that. Mm-hmm. So
it's a movie. Y'all probably haven't seen it, but I told you it's my cousin. It's called Plug Love. I told you that.
I've not seen that.
So it's a Detroit movie. And, It's got a little praise. It's on like Netflix.
Okay, Plug Love. I need to watch that.
But in the movie, it's a dope dealer dating a dope girl, and the dope dealer is sleeping around, and she's getting tired. So unbeknownst to her, she ends up hooking up with one of the dope dealers'
competitors or whatever.
Underlords.
Oh, underlords.
One of his workies. But by him seeing her in a higher level, you know, he shows a lot of affection to her. He gives her everything that her man is not. You know what I mean? So that's why she likes
him. Yeah, because he's dating up now.
Right.
Right.
Right. But she has no problem dating down because she's getting.
She gets what
she has everything
she,
already. Right, all exactly. she's getting from him is what.
The affection and all of that.
Yeah, so, I mean, it takes a turn. Obviously, they find out and they both end up murdered. But.
Okay.
I mean, is that. Because if I'm a woman, it's say, like, you know, if I'm a successful woman, you know, I don't have to say Oprah, but that's what I think a successful woman. Huh. I think Oprah. I have everything, right? It's nothing really anybody could bring that's going to change or make my situation different.
Mm-hmm.
Would that be more of a case for a person who would decide to date down or, as you also said, level up or whatever? Question.
Yeah, because they're feeding that need.
They're feeding the one thing that they don't have.
I mean, shouldn't that be the basic premise of dating 101 anyway? Like, dude, I'm good with me. Like, I kick ass on my own.
Right.
So, like, if you're gonna make me want to adapt and change, you better be bringing something to the table that I yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, I think because, again, from a man's perspective, you know, love is love if it's love. You know what I mean? So I don't think we think of it as she got to be making this. Maybe some men do. Maybe some professional men do.
I was about to say, I know some people that have a certain, like.
But the narrative always is that the man is, you know. He's the savior.
That's the narrative. See, I think savior is the wrong word because, like, I old school Italian family, like the guy's supposed to be the provider,
mm-hmm.
right?
And I don't think it's about a certain level of income or anything like that. I think it's, for my two cents, it's a certain level of drive and ambition.
And step up and handle your business.
Yeah. Well, or be involved. Step up and be involved with mine,
right.
or mm-hmm. you know, have your own stuff going on that at least. it keeps you occupied, has you doing something, has – because one of the big misconceptions, and I found this with so many of my friends, relationship – they're like – it's like concentric circles. Like a relationship is concentric circles, not overlapping. Like they're not supposed to be – it's not supposed to be this. It's supposed to be this.
Right.
You know, and there's still life outside of the two of you for each of you.
Right.
And if there isn't, you know, then you get the stereotypical situations of, oh, my God, you know, I got home from work and all she wanted to do was talk my ear off because she was just home alone all day.
Right.
You know, I mean, that's and that's what leads to stuff like that.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah,
I would think so. I think it's important.
See, I'm not as dumb as I look.
I don't see that. And definitely see the fact that nobody else is seeing you here. That's
right. Yeah, exactly.
Voice.
Right.
Who is that?
Right.
It's important to have a life outside of, you know, your relationship. But the one thing about being whole and yourself, being happy with yourself, like nobody should have to complete you. You should come to a relationship complete. And that person compliments it.
Right.
Yeah.
So therefore, that's what I'm saying. So if I'm whole, if I'm good, who I date, it doesn't complete me. If anything, it just adds. So.
And it should. It should enhance.
Right.
That's exactly right.
So
are you asking why does the income matter?
Say it again.
You asking why does the income matter?
You're I mean, to take a yeah, jab if I'm the, good, I'm good. Now, if. Because it's the old narrative. That's a good word for me. I'm going to keep using that. You know, the boss secretary. You know, the boss ends up marrying the secretary because, you know, she looks at him already from the perspective of him being a boss. He's in charge and, you know, he can provide. He's all that. But he's looking at her as, you know, maybe I could bring something to make her more than a secretary. And she
you becomes, think that's what they think of?
Yeah, for sure.
Oh. So
a I'm, man who marries his mistress has a job opening.
Exactly. That's because I don't know if they're looking for like, ooh, let me lift her up or, you know, I work with you 8 hours a day. You wear this nice pencil skirt. I'm looking at, it's more of a lust turn love maybe, you know. I don't know if there's boss secretary relationships that just bloomed out of just straight, oh, I want to.
Well, I mean, the pencil skirt don't hurt. I mean, let's, I'm being honest.
Well, but and actually, there's a good conversation for it. There's a good topic probably outside of this, but I've had this chat with a million times with friends. There's hot and then there's work hot. Like hot is the person who's walking down the street and you're like, God damn.
Right.
And then there's work hot, which is like the person you work with all the time. And like, they probably didn't take a second look at first.
Right.
But like, as those hours and months and whatever go by, you're like,
is she staying
this way?
Yeah.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's
I can see that.
Yeah, that's so. But I'm just saying, so that again, maybe savior wasn't the right word, but you know, from the whole Captain Save Him as, you know, the hood.
I want to be
saved. Yeah, so I mean, that's
I do want to be saved, though.
That's what it was. Okay. You was fine. So that's what I'm saying. That's why I want
to
have a decent income.
I do because so my two ex-husbands both had wives that didn't work. They were given that option. Like, you know, you can stay at home, take care of the children. I was never given that option. So when they got with me, it was like, oh, no, you can't stay at home. You got to, you know, keep working. So to have somebody that can provide that option, I wouldn't take it. I'm going to tell you that now.
But it's
I'm
nice
just
to
so
be
used.
Offered
it's
that.
Right. It's nice to have that option.
So if you met somebody who was, you know, well off and he offered you that, you would? You say
so
you would?
I probably wouldn't because I'm just so used to working and I'm so used to having my own. I don't want to
In my head, I'm hearing myself lying to myself saying, you know, if I win the lottery, I'm going to go ahead and keep working.
Yeah.
Because I'd want to keep something to do.
Right.
No, I'm lying to myself.
I would volunteer. Like, you know, if I won the lottery, I would definitely still volunteer at schools and things like that. But
well, you could work, but just be work on what you want to work on. I'm not going.
Right.
I'm sorry. I win the lottery. I'm calling Timbuktu. It's
He's
been
quitting.
A good run. We're donating some money to the school.
Right.
But I will not be in there asking
will be punching
BP
the clock.
Anymore.
No, right.
It's not going to happen.
I understand.
It's not
gonna I understand.
Happen. Love you, BP, but not going to see. But, so, yeah, how about you? You know what? I'm going to do that. How about you? The whole scenario, the, you know, find the guy, sweep you off your feet. Just brought a smile to your face.
No, I'm not going to do it.
I know. She was thinking about somebody.
Oh. No, I'm not going to do it because I'm used to having my own. And that's still a control. I feel like you got me under your thumb. So, no.
And that's a good point because control. That's what I was going to get back to because that can lead back to what we were talking about. The deal breakers, you know, the cheating, the verbal abuse, physical abuse. Because I think all those come out of a feeling that they have a control over their mate.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I think all those factors, they may come from other ways as well, but it's definitely out of feeling, you know, she won't do this if I do this, or, you know, I'll make her feel less than what she is. You know, so I think that's all come out of that control, which is true. So control is a deal breaker?
Or mm-hmm.
too much control?
Too much.
Yeah.
Jealousy to me. Jealousy / insecurity is, I don't know if it's a deal breaker, but it's definitely a turnoff.
Mm-hmm. All right, so how do you feel we did with this? I mean, we good? We touched everything? Or do we even, I'm sorry, I'm not even talking to the mic. Do we even address the issue of...
That's a forever go on.
So there's no way to...
Right, but I think to wrap it up, I think you did a good job of wrapping up what women's standards are, what deal breakers are, and I guess the balance of a relationship. So,
yeah. All right.
Zen Master has done well.
The Zen Master has done well.
So you did need to exclude black to get it done.
So while we at it, let's get into this other topic before we go because we got about 15 minutes left on the show today. I know I came up with this idea, for those who don't know, of 60 MCs, and I put them all on a list. And the goal was to do about 5 to 10 a show, end of the show, and come up to a consensus with what we call the GOAT MC. That goal was totally wrecked and shot down and not able to get past, I think, 2 out of the... 60. I think we might have got 2.
We made it to Tupac's. That's 4 people. 3 people.
3 people.
Made 3.
So with that, Ty came to me with a suggestion and said that we should do it by era. That would be a little bit easier to define. And I agree
with that.
Yeah, because hip hop, every era or generation
are not the same. You can't
compare. Right, and you can't compare. I think it's important for them to also know me and you were in a rap group together. We didn't say that. So I know Zen
really?
Forever.
Y'all got videos for that?
Yep.
I need to see that.
We did rap. Mama Sharonda or Sharonda is a great singer.
Yes,
and we used to work together at a place called Operation Get Down.
Yes.
Some of you older people might know that. And we were in the youth program. And out of that came the Mad Click.
So are y'all rapping for Kwanzaa?
That's not going
to happen. No. It's a negative.
It's not going to happen. Nope. The microphone has been put down to pick up this microphone where I don't have to rap. I could just talk. So, yeah. So, very influential. We had the pleasure of doing a lot of shows back then, going to New York. It was a good time.
Good time.
Yeah. So, what we're going to do now is, so from each era, and the eras that I'm saying is are maybe so pre-90s, so hip-hop officially, was it 82? 82 was when they...
Was it 82? Thought it was 78.
So, for me...
Okay.
So I guess 78 is where, you know, where they say that... What's the... I can't be on air and not know information. Kool Herc?
Right.
Kool Herc is the person who officially...
Tom Michael.
This is education. It's education for some of these
This is definitely
officially made the term hip-hop. Mm-hmm. And when he used to do, you know, parks
right
in New York back in the day. So I'm not from New York. So I wasn't aware at that time. So when I first officially heard hip-hop, like 81, 82.
Okay.
And that was Grandmaster Flash, The Message... You know, Run DMC, that's when I officially heard hip-hop. So so going from there to like the '90s, that was what I would consider to be the first era. And then the '90s, you have Jay-Z, your Tupac, Biggie, you know. So that until like the 2000s, when you have your Wayne and kind of what you have now, you know, Drake, Future.
Got you.
And that. So out of that, trying to come up with a list of 10, we would try to get three from each era, so from each one of those eras. And obviously, that's just 9 with a plus one on top. So that is the goal now.
All right.
So, you know, that's what we're asking people to help us with. You know, we could bring people in. And how we could really do this even better, which would be fun, is we could bring people in around those eras. You know what I mean? I think that 81, 90, I think I kind of got that locked up, but it would be probably good to bring somebody else in. But then we can get other people's opinion and speak about it and not just be so biased in our thoughts.
Right. So I got a question. Sharonda, how well are you with these people? Because they looked at me like I was crazy. I had to go for resources.
Oh, so I'm pretty hip hop savvy.
Okay, so what you so trying I'm the only to one. Tag out?
I'm not tagging out. I'm just asking. Was I the only
I mean,
one
so there's some people I'm sure I would have to be like, let me, you know, research, see. But yeah.
That was like the whole
so
list.
So I think there are some.
I'm a hip hop head.
I think there are some who everybody knows. You know what I mean? Everybody knows, and, you know, your immediates, right? And those who will probably be end up with the title of the GOAT, but your Tupac, your Biggies, your Jay-Z's.
Yeah, they kind of also transcend each era as well, you know, because
this is true.
Everybody learns from each other.
And I think it's been a surge in Tupac once again, which happens like every 5 years.
It does,
years. Like
yeah. Everybody, you know, but it's still relatable. I mean, you can still relate to the messages, the music.
That's funny because when I got here, got up and was like, oh, shoot, Zen gonna kill me. I'm late. Tupac for Change was on. So
oh, really?
I was like, oh.
Yeah, that's one of my classics. I love that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so he definitely was influential all the time. And probably, I guess we could probably, we just want to skip all this. We could end up saying that if he's not the GOAT, then.
Close to it.
Yeah, he would be. Mm-hmm. That's not what we're doing here. We're doing a show.
Right. So we got to go through the
suspense, and we want to go through it, the whole process. Yeah, so we want to slow walk this down instead of coming to a conclusion. So I guess the best way to start it is to try to weed through or go through each from this list. Like, so, yeah, this is a great list.
Maybe and so then we would put them into eras. Is that what we're doing? Mm-hmm. So taking a complete list, putting them into eras.
Right.
Okay. And then vote from there.
And then vote from there.
You need highlighters.
That sounds good. Mm-hmm. I like it.
You like it. All right. It's cool. So what else is going on in the world?
What's with the Trump thing?
So Trump. Did you see anything? You picked up the latest of what's going on with Trump?
Nope. I tried to leave the orange man alone.
So the orange man, as she so eloquently just said, I guess it's a new book out. And no, it's not a book. He's in trial. The whole Cohen situation is on court.
So I'm familiar with that. Yeah.
He admitted that he received direct orders from Trump that came during the Russian, during the whole campaign. Okay. Campaign that day. It's proof that he gave direct orders that the Russians were going to be involved.
So there's evidence that.
Yes. New allegations say that the White House had direct conversation with Russian nationalists during the campaign.
So is it the White House or is it the president? So the way that it's
worded. The way it's worded is always worded the White House.
Yeah.
But if it's the White House, then it's the president.
It's the president.
So, I mean, and then I was watching CNN. I said this earlier to you, but I was watching CNN, and they asked, so how do you think the White House is going to respond? And they said, well, it's probably sure that the White House will try to obstruct the Justice Department in trying to get this thrown out.
Mm-hmm.
So when you say obstruct the Justice Department, to me, and I'm just a layman, I have no law degrees, that sounds like obstruction of justice. I mean, that's what it sounds like. It kind of sounds like the definition of what obstruction of justice would be. So to me, it's just, I mean, I know we're at this time now with he's in office. It just seems it's so blatant the things that he does or he's being found to have done, you know, and he's still in office. I mean, I don't want to make this a comparison of between him and
racist.
Yeah. All right. I don't want to make it racist. I don't want to make it racist.
You want to put a race car, but.
Yeah. I mean, if Obama was in this situation, they would have stormed the White House. He would be in jail. If any of those allegations would have been there. Oh, actually, I rose Dave up the voice.
No, I was going to say, I mean, somebody actually did a fascinating analysis and comparison between Nixon and Watergate and everything the Trump administration has gone through. It's scary. Let's be real. I mean, most people floating around that listen to podcasts these days weren't old enough, you know, to remember all the Nixon chaos. I don't even think I was around. Wow. Like if you understand history at all, or you go back and you, I mean, it's literally almost a one for one.
Right. Well, history repeats itself.
As the situation's evolving, it's crazy how many parallels there are.
Yeah, I would agree. And I just think it's a situation where you always hear follow the money. And I remember when he was running for election. And I remember I was at a Thanksgiving dinner with my family, and, you know, my family, if they're watching, I'm sorry. But they think they're intellectuals. they're very wise. They think they're smarter than everybody. And I kept saying to him, my smart rich cousin, that, you know, Trump, he's going to win. He's like, oh, no. You know, there's no way he can win. You know, people are not that blind. People are not that stupid.
A lot of people thought that, you know, he was not going to win.
Follow the money. And that was my whole premise for my argument. Follow the money. He will win. And it's really what he's done is he's turned the democracy in the White House into a reality TV show. He's always been a
show money.
Yeah, he's always been a master advertiser, a promoter. And that's what he did with the election. That's how he won. He said everything that everybody wanted to hear. I remember when he came to Detroit, he talked about how he was going to help Detroit and how all the young black men don't have jobs.
You ain't got nothing now, so
he said
can't get any worse.
Everything that everybody, whatever culture you wanted to hear. So if I say that to everybody, I can at least get half to believe it. And I believe that was his whole campaign. And now he's done nothing to help Detroit.
I don't think he ever was. Anybody. I think he's just making a mockery of the whole presidential role.
It's all a joke.
Yeah, exactly. So you said earlier, I don't think he think he was going to win.
And I don't. I
remember watching his press conferences during the campaign tour. Mm-hmm. And you could almost see the look on his face where all right, the last shit I said didn't get me thrown out of here.
Right.
I'm going to kick it up a notch and see what happens.
Exactly.
They believe that?
No, just that didn't get me kicked out. All right, next.
Right. And I agree with you. I agree with you a lot. And that had a lot to do with what happened. But now he's in. And with that thinking or philosophy, he's even amped it up more. I mean, now that he's in, you would think, all right, I'm in now. I'm just going to pull back and just ride this thing out.
I got to at least try to do the job.
You can tell he don't know nothing.
Yeah.
He got a lost look.
So it's sad. I don't think he's going to go to jail. He should go to jail for the things he's done. But what I think it will do is he won't win a second term. This is what I'm saying. Because things will be so bad. Because this is going to just amp up, because now people are telling. You know what I mean? So now people, because their livelihood is being challenged, you know.
Well, and we're close to another bubble burst. I mean, we are very much on the edge of another 1999-2000, watching the markets, watching the real estate market, watching the stock markets, all that stuff. If that hits,
For sure.
In the next year, like a lot of people are saying it's going to. Bye-bye.
And I think that's what held him, because initially when he was in office, things were still good.
You know,
stock markets were still seeing.
Well, he was still riding the wave of the Obama administration.
I didn't want to say that, David. I'm glad you did. I didn't want to say that, but that's true. And now, because they say you tell after 2 years in office, mm-hmm. that'll be the true telltale. Mm-hmm. You're seeing what's happening, and it's going to even get worse. And with that, you're no longer protected, or he's no longer protected.
Right.
In that sense. So yeah, that's good. So that's why I don't think he won't win a second term. I think that's coming to fruition. But we'll see. We'll see. How are we? Time? 5 minutes.
Yeah.
5 minutes. Okay. So I know one thing I wanted to say, or one thing that you reminded me that we had to say from our guest.
Nervous. He pointing at me.
Yeah. But I don't have the information. Her show. Yeah. They don't have enough time. Well, we had a lady on here from Domestic Violence. What's the name of her show? What was the name of her program? Woman's Touch. Woman's Touch. And she's having the event on 12/15. Our next show is before 12/15.
No.
Is
it? It's on 12/15. Right? No, it's on 12/15.
Well, I'll have the information on the next show, and I'll just give it to you. I was supposed to bring it today, but yeah, we told her we would continue to talk about it, give her some type of voice, because she was a great guest, and she brought a lot to that whole topic we were talking about with domestic violence.
Holidays.
Mm-hmm. And she has a good program for people who might be listening, those same three people. They might just need this information, you know. They might be. Because we don't want them to be felt like control and have verbal abuse and physical abuse and be dealing with the deal breakers that we discussed.
Or blindsided.
See how I brought that back.
I see how you brought that back. Smooth.
That's how I brought that back into that. Yep. So any last words or anything you want to say?
No last words for you?
Yeah, so when I say that, I can kind of try to get people to say last words. That's whole point of me saying. No last words.
I got one.
Oh, wow.
See, and it's for mama. Surprise. Trust your gut.
Trust your gut.
She got self-love on her.
Yep.
All day.
All right.
Love it.
Well, we got through a lot today. And I'm not going to say it's because Black wasn't here. I'm not going to say that. But we got through a lot today.
I'm going to say it is because Black wasn't here.
She said it, not me. But next week we'll have... The MCs broken down into the different eras, so we could start that conversation between those different MCs. I'm working on some guests.
I feel like you almost need like a whiteboard and like a March Madness bracket style thing going.
Right.
And put them against each other and have them all battle out. It's a way to go. Yep. So we're looking at, I do have a couple of guests that we're working on for the show. So, hopefully next week we'll be able to bring someone in to talk to the topics and some other conversations that we have. So this is Podcast Detroit. Come check us out. You can catch us on YouTube. Peace.
And everywhere fine podcasts are sold. That's our running joke.
There you go. You heard it. You heard it from the voice. There it is.
The voice.
There you go. All right.
Thank you.
Peace and see you next week.